Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Rock Springs Church. We're glad you're here. For those of you watching online, it's 27 degrees here, going down to a balmy 2 degrees, perhaps in the morning, with maybe anywhere from 0 to 10 inches of snow. Don't you wish you were here? We have no idea. But we're here, and we're going to study the Word this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 10. We're going through the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 10, verse 1. Really fun passage where Jesus sends out the 12 and then he gives some instruction. And then he says he's going to really call us to taking up our cross and following him. He said, it's going to cost you to follow me. And, you know, for the last 40 years, we've had what's called easy believism, right? Just come to Christ. It's all easy. It's a bed of roses and everything's wonderful. And there's no commitments or anything. We're going to find Jesus saying, not true. Right? And he's going to call us to a deeper commitment this morning. So let's see what the Bible says. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Now, this is based on the verse right before that. Remember that verse last week? It said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So he said, ask me to send out workers. And he turned around and said, I'm sending you all out. Now, that's just like Jesus. When you wake up in the morning, you are sent. No matter where you go that day, he is sending you out as his ambassador. It's not an option. Right? You either go out and represent Jesus or you don't. But we are called to represent him every day of our life as an ambassador of his. And so he says, I'm sending you out. He sends us out. He said, these are the names of the 12 apostles. Simon, called Peter, his brother Andrew. Andrew is the one that led Peter to Jesus, if you recall. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the zealot and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. Now these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go to the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. That sounds like, what's the deal? The Bible says in John 1, Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. God was giving the nation of Israel one more chance to follow him. We were studying Thursday night, and one of the things somebody mentioned was about the book of Judges. And if you read the book of Judges, it goes like this. The people of Israel love God. The people of Israel sin against God. They go into captivity. Then they repent. And then they love God again. Chapter 2. They sin. They rebel. They go into captivity. They repent. And then they love God again. Chapter 3. It's the same thing over and over again, basically. And here we find Jesus saying, we're going to go back to Israel. We're going to go to the house of Israel. We're going to tell them the Messiah has come. The good news is here. And we want them to turn and follow him. We want them to repent and follow him. And so that's why he was sent just to the house of Israel, just to the Jewish nation, because that's where God wanted to start. That's his chosen nation. He wanted to start there and see if they would repent and follow him. And as you go, preach this message. If you'll notice, preaching, we talk about preaching. People say, well, Jim's our preacher, or he's preaching this morning, and he's preaching a sermon. But in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the rest of the New Testament, preaching was done outside of the building. Amen. It's what everybody did when they went outside the building was preaching. We've narrowed it down to say only one guy who goes to seminary, you know, has more degrees behind him than a thermometer, right? Got all these degrees, right? He's the only one that can be a preacher. No, we're all preachers. Every one of us. And we're supposed to preach as we go. Preaching was a street thing. It wasn't a pulpit thing where we come into a building. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Now, he was saying, use these signs and wonders to convince people that Jesus is real. Use these signs and wonders to convince people that Jesus is the Messiah. Because the Jewish people thought that when the Messiah came, he would come with signs and wonders. They actually thought he would come riding on a horse with an army behind him. and he would conquer the Romans who were oppressing them for centuries. He thought that they actually thought that's how Jesus would come. So when Jesus came as a humble servant, they said, that can't be right. That can't be right. He's got to come with swords and bazookas and tanks and guns, right? No, Jesus came as a humble servant. So he said, use these sign gifts to point people to the Messiah. And then there's this great little passage right here tacked on. It seems like just tacked right on the end of it. It says, freely you have received, freely give. In James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of heaven, the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning, there is no trickery. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Jesus says, freely you receive, freely give. Let me make sure you understand something. Everything you have has been given to you. You may think you've worked for it, but who do you think gave you the ability to work? Who do you think gave you the job that you have? Right? Freely you have received, freely give. You know, we often think this is my car, this is my house, this is my paycheck, these are my donuts. Yeah. Of course, I guess if you bite a donut, it is yours at that point, right? Lick that thing, nobody else is going to want it, right? I love that car commercial years ago where the people were fighting over the car. It was on the showroom floor, you know, and this couple where they were here, they were fighting over this, they were trying to fight over it, and the lady just reached down and licked the door handle, right? The other couple walked off, right? Not trying to get in that car. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, the comfort that we have been given is used to comfort others in their distress. What have you been given? What have you been freely given? You didn't work for it, it was just handed to you. The Bible says whatever that is, we're supposed to give that away. Exactly. Thank you, Silas, for that prophetic word of affirmation. Freely we have received, we should freely give. Whatever you've got is to be given away to help someone. It's not to hoard and keep it. Jesus is calling us to a deeper discipleship here. He says, what have you been given? If you have the opportunity to give it away, give it away. Now, the reference was share these sign gifts. You know, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse leprosy. Jesus is saying, look, you disciples, you have been given so much. Now go give it away. And so today we live this idea of being sent by him to give away things. It could be something tangible. It could be our money. It could be our car or our donuts, right? But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. What has Christ done in your life that you can actually give to someone? And that's why Paul said the comfort that we've been given in our distress, we're now to give to someone else in their distress. Whatever you've been through, God will use it. God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste anything. We just simply need to open our hands and say, thank you for getting me through my distressful time, this terrible time I went through. I'm going to use this now to help others who are going through a stressful time. And on the deeper level, freely you've received salvation, freely give it. Right? All the things that take place up here and that trouble us, right, those will all go away at some point. But salvation lasts forever. And Jesus is saying, freely you've been given salvation. Now freely you go tell people how to be saved. Do not take along with you gold or silver or copper in your belts. Back in the day, copper was an exchange, a coin of exchange, just like gold and silver was. And they wore a belt, and inside the belt were little pockets, and that's where they kept their money. Make it hard to steal that way. We call them fanny packs today. Much bigger, but they were just a belt that the money sat down in. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. And that was Jesus saying, trust the Holy Spirit. When you go out on this assignment, this mission trip, you're going to be gone for several days. Just trust the Holy Spirit to take care of your needs. Trust the Holy Spirit to provide for you. Because you're going to go knock on a door, and he's going to tell us that in a minute, and you're going to stay with some people. So just trust me in this. What he's saying is don't rely on the stuff that you have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't rely on all the things you have to share the gospel. Just trust me to share the gospel. He says, whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his home until you leave. And as you enter the home, give it your greeting. That is, the peace be with you. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. It's called the passing of the peace, is what we have called it for years in Christianity. But when you walk into a home, say, may the peace of God be upon you. We say it today when we check out at some place. We say, have a nice day, right? Isn't that what we're saying? It's a carryover. Hope you have a nice day. Hope you have a blessed day. It says, search for that home. And if that home is deserving, let your peace rest upon it. Now, where did they get that peace? Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. My peace I let you rest in your heart. But we're to share that peace. You know, whatever God gives us and we share it, we never lose it. He just restores it. That's what he says in Corinthians. He gives seed to the sower. Every time you sow a seed out of your pocket into somebody else's life, God comes along and restores that seed and gives you more seed than you just sowed in someone else's life. That's his promise. Let your peace rest upon it. If not, let your peace return to you. In other words, somebody says, I don't want you in my house. I say, fine, brother, I'm taking my peace with me. Right? You're on your own. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or that town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. In other words, people who reject Jesus over and over again, in spite of the evidence in front of them, there's a judgment coming for them, and we know that. He says, I'm sending you out like sheaves among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils. They will flog you in their synagogues. Now, if you're flogged in a synagogue, that means a Jewish person has arrested you, taken you captive, and taken you to the synagogue to be flogged. This is not Romans who are doing the flogging here. These are Jewish people who heard you tell that Jesus is Messiah. They've called you a blasphemer because you said that this man is Messiah. They don't believe that. And so they're going to beat you within an inch of your life. They're going to flog you. Jesus was beaten with a whip. He was flogged, right? 39 times, the scripture tells us. Jesus is saying the same thing will happen to you. When you go into these towns and tell people that Jesus, the Messiah, has arrived, get ready. They're going to haul you into the Jewish court. They're going to find you guilty, and they're going to beat you. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. So it's going to stir up so much trouble sharing the gospel that now the Romans are going to get involved in it. The Roman governors and mayors and so forth, they're going to get involved in this process, and they're going to be mad at you for stirring up trouble because they didn't like trouble to be stirred up. They just wanted everybody to be quiet, get along, go along. But when they got riled up, the Roman people had to come in and settle the Jewish people down. He said, you're going to be brought before them as witnesses. And they're going to say, why are you stirring up all this trouble? And they're going to say, we're telling people about Jesus. Well, who is this Jesus? And they're going to get a chance to share the gospel of who Jesus is. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now, in John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, Jesus tells us this beautiful thing about himself. He says, the words that are coming out of my mouth are not my own. I'm telling you what the Father has sent me to tell you, and I'm saying it the way the Father wants me to say it. Now, that's two things. I'm telling you the words, but I'm saying it in the way the Father wants me to say it. That's really amazing. Jesus had to fine-tune listening to the Father as to what to say and how to say it. So he's saying it as a father would say it, because that's how the Father would speak through him. And what he's telling us is the same thing will happen to us. Listen, when you're witnessing, when you're in school, when you're out of school, when you're marketplace, wherever you may find yourself, and you're telling someone about Jesus, you don't really have to worry about what you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit will tell you. That's what it says. The spirit of your father, Abba Father, will tell you what to tell that person. You know, people are so afraid of witnessing. Just terrified of witnessing. And I do it all the time. I love it. I've been doing it since I was 14 years old. So I've got a few reps under my belt. Okay. But every time I've ever opened my mouth to tell someone about Jesus, it's been different. Because that's what the Father wants to do. He wants to do something different to me. Because it's a different person. The person I speak to today will be different than the person I speak to tomorrow. Different circumstance, situation. And God will just intervene. He will give me the words to say. It happens every week when I'm out here. It just happens. Somewhere we have to trust that our Father knows best. Somewhere we have to trust that Jesus has already gone ahead of us in our witnessing. Somewhere we have to trust that the Holy Spirit's going to put the words in our mouth. We just need to open our mouth and say, well, can I tell you something? Can I pray with you? And I've told you this before, what I've found is the person talking to you is going to throw you the softball, right? It'll be a big, giant beach ball. It's going to be so big. They're going to give you opportunity to walk into their lives. They will say something, and the Holy Spirit will say, that's the word. Use that word right there on them. I know I told you a few weeks ago, the gentleman that came up trying to sell me something while I was walking around in the store, and he said, my name is Christian, and I'm telling people about water filtration systems, and you know, I'd like to tell you about what we have, and maybe you want to buy one. And as soon as he finished his little speech, I said, well, that's great. I said, I'm a Christian. He said, well, my name is Christian. I said, I know. I said, but I'm a Christian. Right? Great softball. And I said, I'm asking people if they're trusting in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he said, well, yes, I am. And he pulled his cross out that he had around his neck. You see, just that one word, his name, was a great word for me to jump in on and tell him and talk about Jesus. All right. Verse 21. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Ow. That sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? So what is he saying? He's saying when you start telling people about Jesus, it makes the enemy mad. It makes Satan mad. It makes his demons mad. And it makes those people who are antichrists, I'm using the plural on purpose, There are many antichrists out here, people who are against Christ. That's what an antichrist is. There is the antichrist, that's a person that's coming, that may be here, may not be here, but that's a singular person. But there are a lot of antichrist people who don't like Christ. And so it says right here, they will hate you because of me, and some of them will have you put to death. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Now, he's going to explain it a little bit deeper here. He says, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Now, Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies. Now, think about a carcass laying out on the side of Highway 24, some precious deer, right, that didn't make it, trying to make it across and didn't. Think about being the Lord of the Flies. All the flies own this carcass. Jesus says, they're calling me the Lord of the Flies, which apparently they were. They were calling him Beelzebub. They were saying, you're of the devil is what that means. He said, if they'll say that about me, the master of the house, the leader of this movement, if they're saying that about me, what are they going to say about you? They're going to say you're a son of Beelzebub, right? You're a daughter of Beelzebub. You're following after him. You know, when the word Christian was first used, it meant little Christ. It was a very negative term. It wasn't a positive term at all. And when they first started calling Christians, it was meant as derision, right? They were putting people down when they used that word. So Jesus is saying, look, if they're calling me names, they're going to call you names. Get used to it. So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. In other words, Jesus said, when I'm giving you instruction, when I'm explaining the gospel to you, when we have a meal at night, I want you to proclaim that the next day. Proclaim it alive. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Something we don't teach and preach on, have it for years in the church in America, is that God can completely destroy you to where you don't exist at all, ever. That's what it's saying right here. You should be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body. You know, we're body, soul, and spirit. Some people think we're just body and soul. Regardless, God says, don't be afraid of the people who just kill the body. Don't be afraid of that. What we should be afraid of is the one that can completely make us disappear forever, where there's nothing left of who we are, whether it's body, soul, or spirit. God can destroy everything. And sometimes we fail to realize how powerful God is because we don't talk about it much anymore, but he is. Jesus is saying, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but be afraid, honor, respect God in heaven who can destroy everything. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now some of you are making it easier on God. Thank you, John. I'm sorry, you were just right in my line of sight. I just said, Spencer, thank you. Appreciate it. God appreciates that. Me too. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say it.
I can't stand that verse.
You can't stand that verse. Move on. Bounce off of it. That's just a solar panel for all those genius brains you got up there. That's what that is. It's my story and I'm sticking to it. Solar panel, that's right. I'm getting more and more of a solar panel myself. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Amen? You are. You really are. Now, verse 32. Jesus is really drilling down on us now. He's calling us to a deeper walk, a deeper discipleship. He's calling us to step up. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Wow. Jesus just drilling down and saying, if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you. Are you really willing to follow me? Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. What in the world does he mean? Listen, when you come to Christ and really start following him, you're going to look weird to people who aren't following him. They're going to get ticked off. And they're ticked off because of the Christ in you. The more you become like Christ, the more offensive you are to other people. And Jesus is saying, just get ready. You're going to start offending people. In-laws and kinfolk are going to start not liking each other. I know people to this day who've divided over this, and they don't even speak to each other. Brothers and sisters who won't even speak to each other because of following Christ and their commitment level to Christ. Jesus is saying, if you think I came to bring peace, you are wrong. I came to bring a sword. Now, it's not Jesus that's making people that way. They're choosing to be that way. But when you find somebody that's following Christ deeper and deeper in their walk with Christ, it's going to be offensive to some family members, and there's going to be problems. Now, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Wow. He's drilling down even deeper now. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Really, he's really calling us to walk with him in spite of family and friends who may look at us and say, I can't believe you're a Christian. I can't believe you're following Christ. I can't believe you go to church every Sunday. I can't believe you give 10% of your money to the church every week. I can't believe you do these crazy things. Why are you doing this? They will pick on you. Teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. You're in school. You're right in the thick of it right now. Jesus says, if anyone does not take up his cross and follow me, he's not worthy of me. Jesus calls us to sacrifice. A sacrificial lifestyle is what he calls us to. Every day, he calls us to serve every day. He calls us to sacrifice every single day. That's what you signed up for. And if you didn't know that, well, you know it now. Right? He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. That is, if somebody invites Christ in their life, they're receiving the Father who is working through you. And the one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he's a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. In other words, when someone listens to the claims of Christ and they invite Christ in their life, they're receiving this righteousness that God gives them. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, he's talking about disciples, he's not talking about children here. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to any of these disciples that are out witnessing, because he's my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. So as you go and you tell people about Jesus, and someone blesses you in some way with some blessing, even if it's a cup of cold water, right? I'm in the big box and someone says, hey, you've been standing there talking to this person for a while, I see you're thirsty, here's a bottle of water. Jesus says he will certainly not lose his reward. So the way we honor disciples who are sharing the gospel will come back to us. The way others out here honor those of us who are sharing the gospel, it will come back to them, even if it's simply just a cup of cold water. So this is chapter 10. It's a tough chapter because it's calling us deeper into following him. It's calling us into a sacrificial lifestyle and a serving lifestyle. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this scripture that spells out plainly how we're to live our life. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for this teaching that you gave the disciples, that you're now giving us and calling us into this deeper relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus. Now come, Holy Spirit, and help us walk this out. Help us live this lifestyle. Help us live a sacrificial lifestyle. Help us live a servant lifestyle every day. Come, Holy Spirit, and convict us where we have been self-centered and selfish with all that we have. Freely we have received, freely give. Father, convict us where we've stolen things from you, where we've hoarded things that you've given us that we're supposed to give away. Come convict us of that, Holy Spirit. Forgive us for doing that. Holy Spirit, come and teach us how to be a witness. Teach us how to be like these disciples who went out. Teach us how to love Jesus more than anybody else in our lives, husbands, wives, and fathers, and children, and mothers, and in-laws. Help us to love you first and foremost above everything. Come, Holy Spirit, and teach us how to do that in this moment. And then teach us this week as we go out to our marketplace. Teach us how to do it. Give us the right opportunities. And help us to see those opportunities. For us, in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, Emmanuel, we pray. Amen.